Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, I'm back and I'm here to give you your favorite episodes, which are love story episodes. I am so excited to introduce to you one of just a beautiful human being whose love story is amazing. And you're going to find her so relatable to you. And I welcome my beautiful former client, current friend, now awesome badass architect and life coach, Midori. Midori, I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Bella, for a wonderful introduction. I'm so excited to have a conversation with you and get to know, meet your audience.
Oh my gosh, you guys, you're going to see Midori's been on our website for a long time, but I'm going to find some of her old photos from our photo shoot to show you how gorgeous this woman is and how ageless. So Midori, let's jump right into it. Tell us your story. Tell us what brought you to Smart Dating Academy, because this is a really fun walk down memory lane.
Yes. So I vividly remembering the moment I first saw you on this TV show called The First Look. And that was late Saturday night. I was not dating anybody. I was single. I just turned 50 or maybe wait a little before 50. I don't know, around that time. And, I was, sort of frozen as I was watching how you describe your dating service. And so you walking us through the photo shoot and, how you engage with your client and help them update, put together the, profiles.
Right.
And I heard you speaking, and then I thought, oh, I have to contact this lady. I need this lady right at this moment.
Right now. Yeah. And mind you guys, this was after SNL. Okay. So First Look was an NBC national show. One of the first national segments I ever did. And they were like, we're really curious about your service. So it wasn't like some segment about like, tell us three online dating tips. It was really like, what is Smart Dating Academy? But the catch was, it was after midnight. Okay. So you're a total night owl to be watching this. And I thought, does anybody watch a show after midnight? And sure enough, the beautiful Midori was not only consuming SNL, but then watch First Look right afterwards. Right. So this was like 12:30 a.m.
Correct. Yeah. That was what the single woman, I guess, does.
In New York City. That's what we do, yeah. Right? We're at home, we're hanging out if we're not on a date. And so the next day you reached out.
Yeah, I sent you an email and you emailed me back, and the rest, I guess, rest is a story. History.
I'm going to read you, this is very cute, what Midori, her contact form to us 10 years ago that says, it's been challenging because I'm a very young 50-year-old and easily mistaken for a 30-something. While I'm often attracted to younger men, it's not about their biological age, but about their spirit. I love kids, though I might not be able to have my own. So meanwhile, I have two kitty girls. Please contact me to discuss this process. And then you went on to discuss your relationships in Italy and how you were doing yoga. You're back from Italy. So you were literally like, eat, pray, love, came to us. And You know, let's talk about the first round of when you worked with us. Mm-hmm. It was, as you called it, a big learning curve.
Yes, yes. The first of all, going online to find a potential partner or just have dates were really a challenging process, first of all. And then at that age of around 50, it was daunting.
Right.
But having a well-tailored profile with amazingly captured photos by the photographers, that definitely helped.
And you're gorgeous, which also helps. But your photo shoots were your photo shoot was amazing. I remember it like fun. It was yesterday. It was so fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Just getting online, do my homework, just going scrolling through pages and pages of a potential man to go out with and make a connection and keep up with that meeting these people. At first, it was really uncomfortable, but it became sort of second nature. Okay, this is my work at the moment, my homework at the moment. So sort of it became my routine for whatever, how many months I was on, a few months. And then that became a part of me, part of my process, part of my mission. And that became easier.
And you were showered with messages. I mean, it was like you were flooded with likes and messages. I remember in the beginning, like it was amazing. And like you're like, this is exciting, but it's kind of scary. Like, how do I navigate all of this? So really just like you're saying, putting a process together that made it not overwhelming and having help looking at all of these men that wanted to date you. And there were a lot.
There were a lot. Yeah, there are a lot of creepy ones too.
A lot of creepy ones. There's always creepy ones, guys.
Yeah. And it was surprising to me that men fake ages.
Right. They did, yeah. Right? Especially mm-hmm. because they want to date younger women.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I hear that women do the same thing, but I think men, yeah, definitely.
100% they do it too. Mm-hmm. And so what I thought was great about you, right, as you began, you had a colleague that you also said, hey, you need to go and work with Bella in Smart Dating Academy too.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, she was having, problem in this department, and I thought she was a best candidate to come in and then work with you. And also I needed this accountability partner right on my fingertips. So she's also an architect, and then we worked at the same office. So we made commitment to see each other once a week over lunch, and we discussed how the week went in terms of dating. We both of us have this architect brain, so we are so methodical. We are really organized. We are a little bit anal to some degree, but that was kept us going and stay on track.
I remember working with both of you concurrently at the same time. And I know dating isn't easy, right? And sometimes we, especially if we have a history of dating people that may have red flags or were narcissistic, or it's hard to know in the beginning if we're dating another one of those. But, and I remember, you know, make one of your first relationships just not being a good one for you.
Right. Yeah. And then you pointed out that I have a tendency to go for like narcissistic type person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I remember exactly where we were when we were having this conversation, even about mm-hmm. the pattern of narcissists, right? And it was like, yeah. Oh my gosh. And I think that somehow, and for those of you listening, you might realize this when you have a history and maybe you've dated one or two, or maybe you had a parent that was narcissistic, or maybe two, or maybe you dated somebody in the past or you were married to one. It becomes a phenomenon of what feels comfortable to us, right?
And so, yeah.
Yes. And narcissists can feel comfortable, especially in the beginning. And it takes us a while to see, like, wait a second, I think there might be red flags. And sometimes when you've been with these narcissists, it takes longer to realize those red flags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're so right. Also, at the time of those phases of my life, I wasn't really familiar with the realm of life coaching, but now I, looking back, I realized that I was also sort of people pleasing. Like I do certain things or I offer certain things so that that relationship keep going, and sort of like just not truly authentic to yourself, but for the sake of saving this relationship that you just started, I would just go out of my way to do things that is not typically authentic to me.
No, and I remember in this very first relationship that you got into, you know, in the beginning, he conceived, you know, this guy seemed pretty fine to be exclusive with. But then as you mm-hmm. went on, if I recall right, you started to see that there were things that didn't match what you wanted. And you started to become more attuned to some of the red flags. So tell us a little bit about that, if you remember.
Let's see. There are like the one thing. One big one for me at that, around that time of my life was that, that person with, a mental illness. I have never, dated anybody or anybody my, sphere. There was nobody who was diagnosed with, mentally challenged or mentally have issues with their mental health.
Yeah.
This guy had some issue, but he looked perfectly fine. He was responsible father to this young daughter. She was really friendly, and he lived in a very nice neighborhood of Manhattan, and he had a law degree. He had a good facade,
right? And, good on paper,
right? Yeah, and then he behaved like that too until we became more exclusive and intimate. He started to peel away mm-hmm. some of the things he was trying to hide or wow. trying to conceal. And those, things starting to, you know, become more obvious because he was also becoming uncomfortable to me to show up as who he was. And at that moment, I started to think, I don't know about this relationship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like the red flag after red flag would just come out, right? His facade was great in the beginning, but then you started to realize all of these things and he was struggling in so many ways. And I think we gave it enough time. And at a certain point, it was, hey, you know what? Let's cut our losses here. And how are we going to get out of this relationship?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I asked you for how to end this relationship, and it would have been easier for me to just send a quick text message or email. But you told me like, no, that would not be a good idea because I have established the certain level of intimacy. And do you remember how you what you told me?
You need to talk to him.
Yeah.
You need to talk to him. This is not, you know, text or email, and it's hard to have these conversations, right? And it, yes, especially when we're people pleasers, right? We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. So it's just easier to write it and go, he's fine, right? Versus to be courageous and take that mm-hmm. step and do things. But it went pretty well as it could have.
It did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he took it well. I think it was because I was honest. It wasn't like, oh, I don't feel well.
Right.
I was just honest about that this is not the relationship I would like to continue. But thank you so much for the time we are together. Yeah, so he took it as positive as he could.
Yeah, and that was hard. And that was hard for you as well. And I think at that point, I think we kind of had taken a break. You were kind of done working with us. You kind of went back and did some healing on your own. Is my memory right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then, then maybe sometime later, I can't remember if it was a year or two, we decided, let's do this again and have a fresh start.
Yeah. 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 It was just the right time. Like I was ready to do it again. And there you are. Yeah. Just as ready for me. So
always ready for you, Midori. You're amazing. And I remember when you came for your second photo shoot. And I think it was at that time where we really looked back at the patterns and said, you know, I think there's a gravitational pull towards these narcissists. And as we started the second round of your work with us, we were very well tuned to looking for those red flags almost immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was amazing.
And now,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think I still went through like a bunch of, you know, dating just to shit through the people. But in the end, it was not as difficult as the first time around. I remember it was more focused.
Right. Because you had the first time online dating was brand new to you. Right. And so,
yeah.
And sometimes, you know, guys, it takes decades to really learn ourselves, right? You can try a process once and you do make progress, right? But it's progress, not perfection. And so you give it another try. And like anything, when you have a learning curve, it's easier the second time around. So we got right to business. And then it took you a while, even the second time, maybe after a year, but then you went on what we would never know to be your last set of first dates.
Yeah.
Especially someone came into your inbox. Let's talk about him.
Yeah. So you're talking about my husband, right?
Your husband. Yeah. He's married now. So yes, there's a special someone that absolutely came in to your date on your first date in August 2015. And you say you were 30 minutes late by accident.
Yes. Yeah. We were supposed to be meeting him on the top of the hour. I think it was like a 5 o'clock or something. And then I had I mistakenly thought that was 5:30. And I was on my way to the place and I got text around 15 minutes after the hour. And he was, "Are you still coming?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm on my way." I was like feeling good. I'm on time or maybe earlier. I don't remember if he told me that he'd be waiting, but by the time I got there, he was waiting for me. But that is something he would never do because he has really impatient. He's a really impatient person.
So he must have really wanted to be on this date with you.
Yeah. Yeah. You sounded nice. So luckily for me, yeah, he stayed and we had abbreviated first date, like 1 hour date, but it turned into half an hour. But it was, yeah, just as good because we made another appointment at the end of that date.
That's so funny. I remember you were saying, "I was late. I apologized profusely. We were at a French restaurant, but it was really good." And he asked you out again and you said, "Yes."
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. And so now your second date was a unique mm-hmm. date.
Yeah. We're supposed to meet the following weekend, or I don't remember if we set the date, but we say yes to stay again. The following weekend, I was supposed to go out with a bunch of friends for hiking. And I had this thought, oh, maybe it might be fun to invite him and see how he reacts with my friends. And let me try. So I put together a text message and I used the word, "If you are brave enough to come see my friends and hike with us, I'd love to have you." And it turned out the word "brave" was something really catchy for me. I mean, for him, he identified himself really brave person. So he was like on a mission to prove I'm brave. So he said, "Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. I'm coming with you." And
your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. That's so interesting. So, and I remember you were really surprised that he came and you knew that he was different. You just felt like he was different than any of the previous people that you had dated, but in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. That's so true. Yes.
And now John had, there was a bit of a twist, as you say. So let's talk mm-hmm. about that. What was his background?
Yeah. So his dating background Like he came into the dating world after his, the late wife passed away, at the really young age, in the end of 40, like 49 or something.
Wow.
And so he came into the dating world. He had the relationship and he married with that person relatively fast. But that marriage didn't last more than a year. I think it only lasted for 8-10 months.
Wow.
And when I met him, he was still at the tail end of that relationship. He was
the divorce.
Separated.
Yeah.
Yes, separated, but the divorce wasn't coming through. But he was pretty honest about his status, and I was okay with it. And I don't know if I asked you about it, but if I didn't, I probably thought that I just trusted myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I remember talking to you about this and saying, okay, he's been married for a really long time and he had a beautiful marriage and kids. And is this second, you know, kind of really brief marriage, like, what is this? Is this a red flag? And I think what, you know, I've learned a lot as well in the last 10 years. And I started Smart Dating Academy at the end of 2009. And so what I've seen is a lot of people that are widows and widowers that have had great marriages, there's a lot of grief. And sometimes that they don't even know what a bad relationship is and they don't know what red flags are. So they get into something quickly and it feels really good. And they think, okay, this is going to be good again. And they transact it quickly and they get married. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait a second. This is so not good for me. And those marriages, I've had many clients that have come through our practice that have had great relationships, then a quick marriage after divorce within 1 or 2 years. And that is super normal. So I always say, like, if you've had all that loss, make sure that you have guardrails around you, just like when you're divorced. Like, dating is complicated. It's not simple. And learning how to do this in the right way prevents those kinds of heartbreaks and disasters. And look, I mean, there's a tremendous cost to divorce, right? There's a financial cost, an emotional cost, cost to kids, right? The costs are just, there's ripple effects. So I think that, you know, you started dating him and we said, let's just watch this and see what happens. So then you spent the weekend in Cape Charles. Let's go, let's talk about that.
Oh, yes, yes. So he had, house on at the Chesapeake Bay, that he spent a lot of time on, especially, holidays, down there, with his brother, his two kids, many friends, come to stay on the holidays, with them. So I was really excited to see what this house was like. A good friend of mine lately called the house the House of Love.
It is House of Love. Cold. I love it.
Yes, yes. The house is right on a sort of a really beautiful private beach, and the brother who lives there full time cooks a wonderful meal for us, and we spend time talking and then drinking the wine and then walk up and down this long, mile-long beach. And so soothing, so good for your soul and good for your, I don't know, overall mental health. It takes like 6 hours to get there, but when you get there, it's wonderful. And I was able to experience the time with them. That sort of gave me a different framework to see what this person is, and gave me a totally different dimension that was amazing.
Right. Because now you had been dating for him for 2 to 3 months at this point, and seeing somebody in their element, right, at this house with his family, with his kids, you were pretty impressed with everything you saw, and you had a lot of time together.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like driving down and coming back, there are 6 hours. We have plenty of time to talk, and that was when we really had a really in-depth conversation about each other. Yeah, and then after, at the end of, so on the way back from that weekend, we talked about really becoming steady or exclusive to each other.
Yep.
And I said, why not?
Why not? Like, now you have a boyfriend. That's mm-hmm. awesome, right? So now you're following all the trajectory. So it's 2.5, 3 months. And now you're exclusive. And that was October. And then what happened over Thanksgiving that year?
Over Thanksgiving that year, I was invited to his Thanksgiving dinner that year. They're having the Thanksgiving in Manhattan, where I live now. We live now. So I was able to meet both of his kids. His nephews and the whole family, basically. I mean, the closest family, and including the brother's dog. It was great.
I remember you were debating saying no to going to Thanksgiving, right? Because you had another Thanksgiving invitation that you were going to.
Oh, you remember? Yes. I had a dear friend who invited me to Thanksgiving dinner every single year, and I was considered as their family, and it broke their hearts that I didn't go.
But that really cemented, I think at that point, you sort of knew that this is going to be okay. Like, it was a really good move to go to Thanksgiving, because you always say the rest is history.
Yeah. Things started to sort of change this way. Yeah.
And in a good way. And then you guys moved in together in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have your cheat sheet here. So,
okay. So I just.
And so you guys lived together, everything got better and better. And then you got a special something on October 13th, 2019.
Oh, my engagement?
Your engagement.
Yes. It took us a while. Yes. But engagement. we got engaged 2019. Yeah. And then we are going to get married the following year. And it was supposed to be a destination wedding.
I still have the invitation. I saved it.
Yeah. But at the last minute, it had to be canceled because of the COVID.
It was March of 2020.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 2 weeks before the wedding, we canceled. And we waited 2 years, and then we just recently got married last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So beautiful. I can see your sparkly ring. And you got married in Oaxaca, in Mexico.
Yes. It's a part of Mexico. It's very different from the rest of Mexico, but it is just beautiful. It's considered as a gastronomical capital of Mexico. And that's where the mole was created, and the food there was amazing. And then there are a lot of indigenous cultures still alive. And we also got married by a shaman.
You got married by a shaman there. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That must have been so beautiful.
It was.
That's awesome. And you're tight. And your husband is a very interesting man who decided midstream to also produce some mezcal and tequila.
Yeah. He was always in the beverage industry, and he was in charge of marketing. But he was never satisfied with tequila that was on the market because it was so hard to taste. And it, yeah, so basically he came up with something he would love to sip. And so first good. He created the tequila brand called Paqui. And then years later, recently, he created the brand of Mezcal, and doing really well. People who know tequila really like them.
I love it. P-A-Q-U-I, for those of you that want to order it, it's amazing. They sent me a bottle when it first launched. It's delicious. Yummy. I wanted to order a bottle to say, I wanted to sip some tequila during this podcast, but I couldn't get it fast enough. So definitely next time, but it's on route.
Good, good, good to hear.
And
yeah, I wasn't the tequila drinker or anything, but now when I have his tequila, all I do is just straight. On ice or just shaken with ice and then have a sip. It is delicious.
It's so good. It's so sippable and yummy. Well, tell me what's coming up for you guys now? Tell us your love story. Where is it going to go now?
So we are selling our apartment in Manhattan, and as soon as we hear about the closing of the sales, we're going to decide. I mean, we decided to move, but we're going to set the date to go down to Virginia, temporarily move to the house on the bay. And from there, we sort of chill out and relax and then start looking for a new home in Richmond area in Virginia.
Wow. Wow. Who would have thought the little girl that grew up in Japan ends up in Virginia?
I know.
What a journey. What a journey you've made. And you found the lid to your pot.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess. Yeah, he was born in DC, but he grew up in Northern Virginia. Uh-huh. And of course he has his house. From here, it takes 6 hours to drive, but from Richmond, it only takes 2 hours. And we went down there before Memorial Day weekend this year, and then to see if we liked the neighborhood. And it turned out we really liked it. So, we decided that's going to be the place we're going to move to.
How amazing. Amazing. What a great story. I'm so happy for you and so happy for your love and the story that you worked so hard to create.
Thank you. It is a work, I must say. There's always things to talk about or things we don't talk about that later sort of, if we don't talk about it, it just explode in the different forms. So we try to communicate as much as we can.
And it's hard, right? Marriage is, once you get there and you find the lid to your pot, it's a different kind of learning and communicating, and living with somebody 24/7 has its own set of challenges. You're right, because you bring your communication and he brings his communication and your patience levels and how do we interact with each other in a way that doesn't push the conflict away or ignore the conflict, but navigates through it as painlessly as possible to get the relationship to a better place.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing we found working for us is on the weekends, we always have dinner together at the table. We set the table. We have a nice bottle of wine that goes with the meal. And then over dinner and we continued drinking, sipping wine, and the conversation flows with a little help of alcohol.
We all understand that, but that's such a great, but that's such a great ritual to have those things that you do that get you out of the minutiae of your everyday life, right? Just having conversations that are real, where you are talking about what's really on your heart and what's really on your mind, right? Because that's what cements a relationship together long-term, is that intimacy and feeling safe talking about what's on your heart and not necessarily bending ourselves into pretzels to please the person. It's one thing to think about your partner and to want them to be happy and for them to grow, but that can't come at the expense of ourselves.
Right.
And Midori, you have since even, Midori has, you know, was such a great client to coach that she has now, in addition to being an architect, become a life coach herself.
Yeah, I have been a life coach since 2022, last year. So I have been certified and then coaching people, especially my colleagues, architects, who tend to have this this very organized, we have to be perfect, we have to be methodical, and we have to do these things this way to please the client, that kind of a very typical tendency that architects have. Sometimes it come back and bite us in our other area of life, and we get overwhelmed with all the things that we face in life. I help them with the tools that I've learned and use for myself, and have the life that they've been dreaming to have. And then go after the dream and get what they want.
Oh, I'm so glad that you coached with me. I have such an affinity for you and have always loved you from day one. And I'm so glad that you're bringing your talents to the world now as a coach. It's a great full circle story.
Thank you, Bella. I'm so glad that I watched that show on the very first day.
I'm so glad you did too. You've brought a lot of joy to me through the process and lots of good memories. So is there any last words of advice you would tell someone that's single, that's out there?
Single who's out there. Yeah. Don't be afraid to show up, because unless you do, nobody knows that you exist.
Right.
And believe that as long as you believe in yourself, there is nothing wrong. You can do anything wrong about dating or any part of life. You're very special. Everybody.
That's such great advice. That gave me goosebumps. So, Midori, thank you for coming on here and sharing your super inspiring story that you started this at 50. And here you are, ageless. When you guys see her, you'll be like, what? How is this girl? She, like she said, I'm not really 50. I'm mistaken for 30. So yeah, she's still just as beautiful as ever. So thank you so much for being so generous with your time and your story. And I can't wait to see you again, hopefully live soon, either in Chicago or New York.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the next time we will see each other.
For sure. And for you smart daters, love can happen to you no matter where you are in your life, what phase of life you're in, no matter what your background is, no matter who you've dated, who you've not dated. Be inspired. And like Midori says, be courageous and show up. And if you need help, seek help, right? Here we are on this call with two coaches. There are so many things and people out there that can wrap you in bubble wrap and protect your hearts through this process to keep you safe and secure. So you are worth it. Like Midori says, you are worth doing whatever it is makes best sense to you. Invest in yourself and show up for yourself. You show up for so many other people. I'm going to say it's time to please yourself. And with that, thank you again. And smart daters, I will see you again next week. Thank you for listening. And as usual, I send you big hugs with lots of psychotic optimism for your own dating life. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love, follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.